Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to continue to share with you today on the subject of the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. We saw in Galatians 3:13 where Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now you and I have been redeemed. We're a purchased possession. We are not our own. We belong unto the Lord. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. We also saw through the redemption through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. God remembers our sins and our iniquities no more. We also saw the fact that he comes to bring salvation. The Son of Man was come to seek and to save that which was lost. We saw that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we see that when we receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, calling upon the name of the Lord, then we'll be saved as we get born again through receiving him. We saw the fact that the new birth comes forth as declared in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit, and we receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. We get a brand new spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ. Now that we have a new spirit, we also then receive the Holy Spirit, because what do we get when we're born again? The Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ proceeds from Jesus, while the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, John 15, verse 26. We receive the Holy Spirit subsequent to salvation. We saw that in Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. They believed the things that he was preaching, and they got born again, and then they were baptized. But then in verse 14, the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and then they came down, having sent Peter and John, to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, they laid their hands on him, and they received the Holy Spirit. So receiving the Holy Spirit is subsequent to salvation. Very simple to do. In Luke 11:13, the Bible says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" A believer in Jesus Christ who is born again, God's now their heavenly Father, and this tells us to ask our heavenly Father to give us the Holy Spirit. We believe we receive the Holy Spirit. He will come to dwell on the inside of us. Another thing that we talked about is how we've now been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You and I have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light." Another thing we looked at was in John chapter 3 and verse 16, where it indicates now that Jesus is the one who brings everlasting life, or whoever believes in him. When you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. If you don't believe on the Son, you shall not see life. Then we saw in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, about how a new covenant was prophesied that was going to come into manifestation, and Jesus is the one who brought this. He declared at the last summer that this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we see that Jesus has brought that into being. In Hebrews 8:6, he's now obtained a more excellent ministry by how much he's the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. Remember, the first covenant had fault, and so now, finding fault, he says, "Behold, the days come when he's going to bring a new covenant." And now this new covenant has come into being. How does this new covenant work? In Hebrews 8:10, "The covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And so we see that now God takes his word, writes it in our heart, and writes it in our mind, as opposed to the Old Testament where it was written on the tables of stone. Now it's written within. Now in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, we see the Bible says if they'll obey his voice and keep his covenant, that they would be a peculiar treasure unto him above all people. and he said that he would make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, this has come to pass through Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1, verse 6, he's made us kings and priests unto God. You are now a king under the King of Kings in a position of authority, and you are a priest. You've come into the priesthood through new birth. And we see that the priesthood is twofold. In 1 Peter 2:5, that you and I as lively stones, meaning they're born again, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's a ruling, reigning priesthood. So we see that we're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, but also a royal priesthood, a ruling, reigning priesthood that is going to now rule and reign as we've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Another thing we see, the purpose of Jesus Christ was to bring us to the place of walking in righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Actually, the translation where it says might be made is better translated accurately in the Greek that we may become, that's what the word means, and it's in the present tense denoting continuous repeated action. We may become, if we meet the conditions, because it's in the subjunctive mood, the righteousness of God in him, meaning that there's conditions for being the righteousness of God. How do we become the righteousness of God? Of course, first when we're born again, we get a brand new spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ, and now our spirit is right with him. But then in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We need to seek his righteousness and learn the word of righteousness that we walk in. And then we must do what it says. In 1 John 3:7, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." The word doeth is in the present tense again in the Greek, which means continuous, repeated action. So what this says is the man who does continually righteousness, which is by doing the word of righteousness, that is the one who is righteous before him. Otherwise, righteousness has conditions. First of all, being born again, and then continually walking according to the word of righteousness that produces righteousness. Now in John 1:17, the Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So now, grace and truth has come through Jesus. That's the favor of God toward us. In fact, in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So now, God's favor is toward us, of course, as we walk in line with his word. Also, we see the fact that mercy is for us. In Psalms 136:1, it says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Remember in Hebrews 2:17, it says that he is a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. In 1 Peter 2:10, it says, "We were not a people, but we now are a people. We had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy legally in Jesus Christ." So mercy now belongs to us in Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain," it's the Greek word lambano, "take hold of mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In other words, grace and mercy are available, but you and I must take hold of it and find it to see it come into manifestation in our life. Also, the purpose of Jesus was to come and to bring forth peace. In John 16:33, he says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So peace comes from the Lord. It's not a worldly peace based on circumstances. No, it's his peace. And as you abide in him, you'll have his peace. At the same time, you can't let your heart be troubled or be afraid, or you will see the peace not manifest in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," we're talking about not a circumstantial peace, but a spiritual peace from God, "that passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep men perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Therefore, if you abide in the word," you don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid, you don't have any care, worry, or anxiety, but you pray the word of God, "the peace of God will keep you, guard your heart and mind," and as your mind is stayed on him, you will stay in that place of perfect peace. And in Romans 16:20, "the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet." God is a God of peace, and he will manifest his peace in your life. Another thing is, he's brought us out of bondage to fear. In Romans 8:15, "You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And we see that we are not to have a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." You and I now are to walk free from fear. Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and 75, "that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." You and I are to fear not, and now walk in fellowship with the Lord. Also, we see the fact that we have the revelation of the Father in the New Testament. We see it in that Romans 8:15. It says, "Now with the spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, Father," revealing the Father unto us. You know, Jesus revealed the Father. He said in Luke 10:22, "All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him." Now the Son is revealing the Father unto us. In fact, he talked about how he was going to show them plainly of the Father. You and I have come into a relationship with God the Father, and we can know him and walk in fellowship with him. Well, we've talked more today about the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ and the things that he has accomplished for us. And as we walk in line with the Word of God, we will see all these great blessings come forth through what Jesus Christ has accomplished in his redemptive work and in bringing forth the new covenant, and as we walk in line with his Word. Look forward to continuing on the next broadcast. In closing, are you looking for a New Testament church? We teach and preach the uncompromised Word of God with in-depth teaching, bringing forth scripture after scripture on subject after subject. I also minister healing and deliverance to all who have a need. I minister continual deliverance and healing, doing whatever it takes until a person is set free. I've seen the Lord heal cancer, heart problems, diabetes, blindness, deafness, dumbness, seizures, eliminate tumors, and bring forth healing from all kinds of sickness and disease. We've seen believers delivered from mental problems such as schizophrenia, depression, panic attack, and breaking inherited generational curses. I invite you to visit Jesus is Lord Outreach Center. Our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For more information, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.